Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To our wisdom-loving friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and the program is Bookshelf, one book every week. Islam calls for peace. It doesn't encourage war. But Islam is a religion of the real world. It addresses our real problem. So like it or not, war could be a part of it. With battle comes death, also called martyrdom. Martyrdom is a purposeful choice. For instance, during the Iraqi attack on Iran in 1980, many Iranians purposefully went to the battlefield to defend their wives and children and their new ideology, embodied in the form of their newly created revolutionary government. The same goes to those who fought on the defensive side of the Second World War. That said, martyrdom doesn't have to be on the battlefield. So many people died not on the battlefield but on the streets while making people aware of truths that the malevolent wanted hidden. Some people are killed simply because of the faith they have. The Shia history has a unique figure called Imam Hussein. His martyrdom in Karbala has inspired the Shia across history to be resilient towards those who try to bludgeon the Shia out of their beliefs. Many attempts have been made to eradicate the Shia by means of slaughter, but today it is still alive and thriving, which may be due to the event at Karbala on the day of Ashura. Hussein kindles our hearts every day and renews our faith and strength. Hence, the Shia don't fear martyrdom. If the preservation of our religion depends on our life, then, O swords, take it away. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Lately I have been wondering so, wondering about what do I know about this life and where do I go after I die? How can it be so? That some people say that it all ends when into my grave I descend. But how can my aim of heaven be flawed when my only wish is to be with my Lord?
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and we, the Bookshelf team, invite you to read this week's book called Martyrdom, Arise and Bear Witness. The book is a compilation of lectures by Dr. Ali Shariati on the concept of martyrdom and the importance of martyrdom in Shiite ideology. Ali Asghar Qasimi is a translator of this book. Al-Islam.org has kindly provided the book to the public for free on their website. The book comes in 53 pages and the contents are martyrdom, its school of thought, two classes of prophets, deviations appear, and Imam Hussein, a prayer, and a chapter on after-martyrdom. Dr. Ali Shariati's logic and his masterful writings have made his books very influential, especially among youths, even to this day. With today's book, you'll get a peek into Dr. Shariati's skillful linguistic capabilities, although be warned, translations can never truly transfer the beauties of words in their original language. Stay tuned to hear an excerpt of today's book.
7 barometric pressure.
We come to you and O God, knowing that thou art our only king.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and the program is Bookshelf. We're reading together the book Martyrdom, Arise and Bear Witness by Dr. Ali Shariati. I'll be reading the chapter called Two Classes of Prophets, page 8. As I have mentioned in my previous lectures, throughout the whole history of humanity, religious movements are divided into two classes. According to this classification, all of the historical prophets, whether true or false, as well as anyone who has begun a religious movement, are divided into two different classes. The first group belongs to the religious chain founded by Abraham. These chains of prophets, from the historical point of view, are nearer to us and therefore we know them better. They consist of prophets whose view of society arose from the most deprived social and economic class of a society. As Muhammad said, all of these prophets were either shepherds, as history shows us, or a few were simple, hungry artisans or workers. These prophets stand in contrast with the messengers of the other group, or founders of intellectual and moral schools of thought, such as those in China, India, Iran, and the founders of the scientific and ethical schools of Athens. These latter groups, without a single exception, were aristocrats. They arose from the noble, powerful, comfortable classes of their society. Throughout history, the powerful rulers of society have been one of three groups: the powerful, the wealthy, and the clergy. They exercise political and economic power with each other and control over the faith of the people. They cooperated with each other in ruling the people. Their collaboration, whether or not they shared the same views, was in order to rule the people and for the sake of the people. All of the non-Abrahamic messengers from Indochina to Athens were either connected on their mother's side or their father's side, or even both sides, to emperors, clergymen, and aristocrats. This holds true for Confucius, Buddha, Zoroaster, Mani, Mazdak, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Whereas the Quran emphasizes, "We appointed among the ordinary people a prophet of themselves." Chapter 3, verse 163. They were ordinary people from the masses and among the community. Thus the Abrahamic prophets arose from the mass of the people. This does not mean that they did not have an angelic dimension or that they did not hold absolute powers and were only human beings. It means that they were appointed from among the ordinary mass of people rather than relating to a special, noble, and selective class of society. Some people believe that because the prophet of Islam arose from among the Arabs, he should speak Arabic, or Moses, who was appointed to the Jewish people, should speak Hebrew. It's obvious that a prophet appointed from amongst the Arabs cannot speak a language other than Arabic. The important thing is to speak in the language of ordinary people, which means to speak the tongue the mass of that community understand. In order to speak about their needs or troubles in a language which is understandable to them, and not as philosophers, poets, intellectuals, scholars, and educated people, they must use a language which people are familiar with. But neither do they understand the thoughts and emotions of the ordinary people, nor do they understand their language. This still can be noted everywhere. When we discuss the Abrahamic prophets, we are talking about the people, for the mission of these prophets differs from that of others. The mission of the non-Abrahamic messengers is always related to the existing power structure, so that the power supports these messengers' ideas. The Abrahamic prophets, on the other hand, were always supported by the ordinary people against the powerful rulers of their time. Look at Abraham. As soon as God appointed him, he wielded his mace to destroy the idols. Moses took up his shepherd's staff and stormed Pharaoh's palace. And the prophet of Islam first went through a stage of individual development and then began his spiritual struggle. The miracles of Abrahamic prophets are also in accordance with their mission. The turning of the staff into a serpent was used to destroy wizardry and to attack the Pharaoh's throne. As you can see, this is a very nice book by Dr. Shariati, and very well argumented. If you missed our program, we introduced the book Martyrdom, Arise and Bear Witness, which you can download from al-islam.org. You can download an archive of our program from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio and then Bookshelf. For me and the whole team here on IRIB English Radio Bookshelf, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.